Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about Mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALISTS when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
The Survivor Specialists are back, and I am continuing my exit interviews for Survivor 48 with fourth place finisher Camilla, who Star said everybody would have voted for had she gotten to the final three. I want to talk about her game and her journey here of not believing in herself and her family not believing in her, and our podcast certainly not believing in her. We had her 18th place. She went undrafted in our fantasy draft, and yet she plays one of the best under the radar games we have seen in a very long time, gets all the way to fire and just wasn't able to get the fire made. But had she have, she might be one of the best winners of this new era. So I'm going to be talking to Camilla all about her game, her relationship with Kyle, and what her pitch would have been to the jury. And if she thinks she could have beaten Kyle, or if they truly would have split votes and it would have led to a Joe or Eva victory. Before I get into the interview, though, I just want to make sure that I plug that we're going to be doing our Survivor 50 cast reaction next Wednesday night. It'll be late at night, so I know that the cast is being announced at 7 in the morning, but we are going to be super late to that, but we're still going to get it out day of, which is what's important at the end of the day, right? So make sure you turn into that, and if you want to hear more about Survivor 48, tonight at 11 o'clock p.m., Will and I will be digging deeper into the finale and into this season as a whole as we give our final thoughts on this season. If you haven't checked out my Joe, Eva, or Mitch interviews, make sure you go and check those out. And later today, I will have an interview with the winner of Survivor 48, Kyle. But for now, here is my interview with Camilla. I am here with Camilla, the biggest overachiever on this season, right? She didn't think that she was going to be able to do it. Her family didn't think she was going to be able to do it. Our podcast, we let you go undrafted. We didn't
see you. Yep.
You got on the island and it was like you had lived there. You knew what you were doing. What just clicked for you once you started playing this game?
I mean, honestly, it wasn't that I just got on the island and I started playing. I had a rough couple of first days, but once I ended up on New Vula, I was just like, I had been putting in this, I'm on the bottom. Even on the sit-out bench with Star, I was telling her I was on the bottom when I wasn't on the bottom. And so I was just like, let me continue with this. And the fact that Kyle latched on, lied so flawlessly on New Vula, like that's what really got me going. Like that's when I started to play Survivor. I hadn't been playing Survivor prior to that.
So what was it like on those early days of SIVA? Because you all didn't go to tribal council, so we never really got to see anything. Did you feel that you were on the wrong side of numbers early on, or were you doing okay with everybody?
I'd say like the first 2 days, I just felt very out of place because it felt like, you know, it was like campfire, camp council-y kind of things. And that's not my thing. Like they're singing campfire songs and all this. That's not me. I hated every moment of it. But eventually, once, you know, we formed that SIVA 4 over the shared mistrust of charity, then I'm like, okay, I'm not like on the bottom. I got a group. So that was sort of more relieving, but yeah.
So you take a huge chance when you get over to that new tribe where you don't have the numbers and you just start going right away with Kyle. Was there ever a concern that this was going to blow up in your face? Because I feel like the two of you were playing with dynamite all season.
Yeah, I had just really hoped that the person that I was, I believed in Kyle. Kyle seems like a smart guy, and honestly, I had faith in him. I was like, this guy is going to understand what I'm doing. He's going to pick it up. And once he did, I was like, I have nothing to worry about. Like, we're good. We're good.
So let's go into this post-merge here. Final six, this harebrained scheme to get rid of Shaheem. And you're kind of the one who's at risk in this scenario, right? Like you'd be the one who's getting the votes and would be going home. Were you just saying to Kyle, like, there's got to be a simpler way? There has to be something that makes more sense? Or were you just on board and you were going with it?
No, because I mean, we had simpler ways, and my simpler way was we go to rocks. I wanted to go to rocks like almost every other tribal council. We talked about it at 8, with the four of us on the bottom going to rocks. Like that was my backup plan because I really couldn't think of anything interesting. I was like, me, Mitch, Kyle, vote Shaheen, them three vote us. They're scared. They're playing scared survivor, and they probably flip. And then I was so down to do this. I just wanted an excuse to lie.
So, yeah, I know you're talking about the bus. If I see you ever driving a bus, I'm running the other way as fast as humanly possible. But so you wanted to go to rocks and you were looking to do it, but then you got fourth place anyway. So as you're thinking about how the game actually shook out, like were you starting to look just to take unnecessary risks because you were like, I just want to play. I want to be as aggressive as possible.
100%. And if it weren't for Kyle, I would have got myself voted out earlier than necessary. Like I just wanted to play. I just wanted to have fun. And Kyle was like the level-headed person being like, this is too soon. This is too soon. This is too soon. That man is so smart. Put him on any season of Survivor and he's like guaranteed, like honestly, like winner in my eyes. He's just so great at the game.
And I love that because the reaction to this season has been it was a slow burn. It was nobody was making the moves when it seemed like it was obvious. And here's Camilla. She's like, she's ready. She was ready to get everybody. And it just was Kyle who was keeping you in check. And ultimately, what I think as an audience we were so confused about is why are they not going after Joe and Eva? You know Eva has all this ammo, and you know that Joe is like they have this relationship, they have this story. Why were you not going after them?
We know Eva has the ammo, but we know Eva is only going to play that on herself or Joe. If anybody else had that idol, they would use it to make some sort of crazy move. So I didn't want that idol to get rehidden. If Mary finds it, if Star finds it, if Shaheen finds it, I don't know. They might try and do something crazy with it. That's scarier for me than just letting Eva have the idol.
So literally part of your strategy was we're assuming they're not going to hide another idol unless this one gets played, so let's just keep it in the game as long as possible.
I had been looking every single time for what? Like every time I got up, I would look and I couldn't find anything. So I assumed that was the only idol out there.
Wow. And so you and Kyle, though, you're not voting Joe out. And obviously the audience reaction is like, what are these people doing? But then you end up being right where everybody's saying that if you get the final three, you're going to win easily. What were you seeing that made it clear to you that you had a real legitimate shot to beat them at the end?
Yeah. So I think Joe and Eva played a great game. There, but the problem was the thing I've been talking about at tribal council, jury management, and knowing the jury. I don't think the jury bought the whole honesty and integrity thing, and they wanted people to own it. Like people were very salty about this, and you could see it at tribal council when they'd speak. You'd see the look on the jury's faces. Sometimes eyes would be rolled. It was just I figured that the jury liked me more than they liked them, and that I could capitalize on that. And also the other people we voted out were serious contenders. Mary with her underdog story, like she would have, I think Mary was like the front runner. Shaheen as well, because we all saw him as the brains of their operation. And then the David and Star votes were more of like Star was pretty untrustworthy. I would say things to her and it would get back to Joe and Eva, and I would find out through Kyle, obviously. But it's like she really thought she was in with Joe and Eva, so I knew we couldn't work together. And then David was just policing. David, Mary, and Star actually were policing me the entire time. I couldn't talk to Shaheen. I couldn't talk to Kyle. Yeah.
And do you feel like then getting rid of David was really when you and Kyle were able to take over the game?
Yes, because he didn't let us talk to each other. We still also didn't try not to talk to each other. We didn't want to be seen. as this duo or anything. So we, we're tried to lay low. But once he was gone, I was like, oh my God, I can finally talk to people other than Mitch. I was only allowed to talk to Mitch while he was there.
So let's talk about Mitch then. So Mitch, you vote Mitch out at Final Five. And it was because he's too likable. We're worried about that. Was Mitch legitimately who you were most concerned about getting at Final Three?
I was most concerned about Kyle.
Okay.
But I was like, I just really wanted one of us to win. And that was kind of like an ego thing because I'm like, oh, if Kyle wins, maybe that means I would have won too, if I were in his position. But Mitch was like the next biggest threat to my jury votes because I'm not competing for the same jury votes as Eva. Like, I mean, yes, we're all competing for the same jury votes, but the people who would be split, they'd be split between me and Mitch. They wouldn't be split between like me and Eva or me and Joe, right? Like, our games are very different and we are very different.
And so Mitch goes at five. Joe and Eva also seemed to be looking to get rid of Mitch. And I think just because Mitch's edit seemed so hidden, was there anything other than the social game that was making him threatening, or was it really just that like Mitch's social game was that good that he could have taken it from any of us?
Yeah, he was the most lovable person out there. His social game was amazing. He didn't do anything wrong to anyone on the jury. And you could see the jury was like pissed. Like they were not happy. And Mitch did no wrong. So no one would be like grilling him. I mean, they'd be like, oh, what did you do? But honestly, to see this guy receive so many votes throughout the entire game, be on the bottom, survive to the end is pretty impressive.
So at Final Four, after Mitch goes home, you say to Kyle, I don't think I can take you to Final Three. And now everybody's like, why did you say that? That's why Kyle felt like it was okay. Do you feel like Kyle was going to do it anyway and you both just had an understanding and it didn't matter?
Kyle is a smart man. That man is not taking me to Final Tribal Council with him. And the whole point of like the Shaheen move, obviously to get rid of Shaheen, but also like undermine Joe and Eva's game, make it look like they weren't in control the whole time. And he did that so that he could have a better shot sitting next to them. Like he did that for a reason. And at most, I could make him feel like hurt and guilty about it, but he's gonna make the same decision at the end of the day. He's a smart guy.
And so when it came to fire, we see that you struggle there with the fire. Eva's struggling too, but you were just like, you were losing it a little bit. What was it about this fire making competition that kind of brought you back? It felt like out of what the confidence that you had built for so much of the game.
Yes. Yeah. I think it was really hard because there was some confidence where it's like I just kept going at it because you see people come back from Final Four fire making all the time. But there was a bit of like, I'm sitting there, I'm making fire. The only thing I can hear are Joe and Kyle encouraging Eva, no one encouraging me. And then I hear whispers on the jury, but I can't make out the whispers. And in my head, it's all, I can't believe she came out here and never practiced fire. How could she not make fire? How is this so difficult for her? How has she not gotten a single spark yet? That's all that was in my head. And that was pretty difficult for me to like try and go through. Every tribal council, I make eye contact with the jury. I try to see their reaction to things. This was the one time at tribal council where I did not look at the jury at all.
And when you hear Star say what she said afterwards, did you feel in the game that you really were going to just wipe the floor with whoever you sat with, or did that surprise you a little bit?
I'd wipe the floor, but I think I think I stood a good chance. Like I was pretty sure. Like I knew my best shot at winning was sitting next to Joe and Eva because we were so different. And I thought, I would win sitting next to them. Hearing it was just confirmation of all the things that I already had in my head, and it's really nice to get that extra validation from other people.
And with Kyle, how do you think he would have tried to differentiate your game?
Oh, with Kyle, I probably would have had to lie and claim his moves as my own. Definitely. Like, I would have fought hard against that guy. I know Joe and Eva were trying to keep it respectful. I wouldn't have kept it respectful at all.
And it seemed like at the final tribal council, you were kind of trying to lead him to water a little bit. Now, I know that this is so cut down and that was probably 2 hours long, but was Kyle getting there, or did you kind of have to push him over the edge a little bit?
Kyle was gonna get there. Like there were gonna be questions asking you about something that we didn't know, or like a there or maybe a move that you would own that was your move. I knew it was gonna come up. There's no way that man sits through the entire final tribal council and does not bring up the like his best move of the game.
And honestly, like when you two pulled that off, I remember going on the podcast being like, that's one of the best moves we've seen. Like that was ridiculous. And it was so all over the place. It shouldn't have worked. And then at Final Tribal, it's like, you're raising your hand to be like, say it, like, come on, man. Which was fun. That wasn't quite as good as David's mean mugging that then turned into
knock, knock.
I was just joking. I mean, what were you thinking as the people were getting sent to the jury? Were you worried that you were going to have blood on your hands and that they were going to be bitter about some of this stuff, especially when you're looking at David sitting there grumpy?
I wasn't too worried. And I'm pretty sure David's grumpiness was more directed towards Joe, Joe and Eva, because they were, you know, the honesty and integrity. And I have my people. I trusted my people. And it's like, your person's gone. I was your person. Now I'm sitting out here. Like, I'm pretty sure he was upset with them and definitely not upset with me.
Yeah. And so last thing I have for you is you came in with all the negative talk that literally made me not want you at all for the fantasy teams. Like you,
I remember.
Yeah, I know. And I sat there and I was like, man, I'm a fool for this. She might end up winning this entire game. But what did this experience do for you with that? You talked a lot about this negative talk was something that really wore you down. And that's how you would think about it. Have you changed your perspective with some of that now?
I think I changed quite a bit. My friends, my coworkers would say I'm a lot more confident now. Maybe some might say overconfident, but honestly, overconfidence is better than where I was at before with all the Omega imposter syndrome. So like this is lasted ever since like I got back, and it's been a couple of months now. So it is really life changing.
That's awesome to hear. Well, it was a pleasure to watch you play, and I'm so happy we got to do this conversation, and thank you for coming on.
Thanks, Phil.